Welcome to Late Night Live on Radio National Summer, and if you are willing to smear your nostrils with zinc cream, I'll take you back to China. Welcome to the second in our series of programs from China. Later, we fly to the political capital of Beijing, where this very Friday, the 1st of July, they'll be celebrating the 90th anniversary of the founding of the Communist Party of China. But first, we're going to pick up where we left off in our last program, in the fabled city of Guilin. There was a recent moment in Chinese history when most of the country suffered a great setback, appallingly misnamed as the Great Leap Forward. The Chinese decided with one of their five-year plans that they were going to modernise at a ruthless and relentless rate, and around Guilin an immense amount of timber was felled for building purposes, with severe consequences for this environmentally fragile region made up of porous karst, that's K-A-R-S-T, mountains. It set in train enormous problems of erosion and profoundly affected entire patterns of agriculture. It forced villagers out of the valleys, up on the hillsides, where they started to plant fruit trees in order to make a quid. Now, the good news is that to the untrained eye, the beauty of the region is unalloyed, and it's a truly legendary landscape in more ways than one. Not simply the almost infinite number of monoliths, but also the man-made landscape of terracing and farming. We went off the beaten track and visited the tiny village of Peilin with our guide Michael, where we met quite a lot of the locals, including a lovely old couple who showed us how to make tofu in the way they have for centuries. But first we thought we better practice saying thank you in Chinese.
Just some wind through your teeth.
We're still doing it. Like the singer.
How do you say it?
谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。
谢谢。谢谢。
You have a go.
谢谢, yes.
谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。 Well, I don't want a chair. I'm fine, thank you. We're surrounded by mountains that inspire the great scroll painters. They're not grim, gaunt guardians. They're very happy mountains. They seem to be like amiable drunks holding each other up. It's a good-humoured landscape, but I had no idea there were so many of them. I thought there were perhaps a couple of dozen, but we've driven through literally thousands. But sometimes they look like hats that have been scattered across the landscape. Imagine giant witches' caps, Stetsons, Akubras, bowler hats, even a few toppers. They are ravishingly beautiful. They're completely covered, apart from where you see bare faces of limestone. They're completely covered by foliage. And they're probably the most iconic image of physical China.
We'll help. Let's go and plant some rice.
I've made a friend. We're in a little village of about 500 souls. We've talked to the kids, or rather handed out lollies. They were immensely popular. I've been adopted by a lovely little boy here who should be having his lunch, but instead he's following me around. And the village is called Peiling, and although it has its quota of rice paddies, it's really devoted to the kumquat. The kumquats here are apparently state-of-the-art, cutting-edge kumquats, used, eaten as fruit, made into wine. The region and the village is famous for its kumquats. I'm now going to go for a walk with my new friend.
There's a kumquat in here.
Mm, they're beautiful.
So we're going to teach us to make the tofu.
Michael, we're watching an old couple making tofu. What are the ingredients?
Basically, they use the soybeans. So they need to soak the soybeans into the water for a few hours. Mm. Then they will grind the soybeans with stone mill.
This is this old hand mill here.
Yes.
So they pour the soybeans down that hole, turn the big handle.
Yes.
And it crushes grind and it. Grinds the beans.
Yeah.
They then pour into this dish.
Yes.
Right.
And then bring it to the kitchen. They use that piece of cloth to separate the soybean milk from the substance of the soybeans. We can see. Yeah, you can see she's doing the grinding of the soybeans right now.
Into the hole goes the soybean, round and round the grinder goes.
Yeah.
It looks like at least 300 years old. Oh, and here comes the milk. Here comes the milk, dribbling out.
Yeah. Normally, they would use like 2 kilos of soybeans to make tofu. Normally, 2 kilos. And then after grinding the soybeans, they take this, you know, with the dish, you know, into the kitchen over there. Wow. You can see how they do that. Use the kitchen. They use that piece of white cloth to get the milk, you know, separate from the leftovers. You can feed the pigs with the leftovers, but only they use the milk. And when they get enough milk, they just, boil it, you know, in the huge wok, in the big
that
wok.
That is a whopping wok.
That's a wok for boiling the soybean milk. After the soybean milk is cooked, is boiled, then pour the gypsum powder into that, container. Then put the hot, soybean milk into the container. Mix, stir with the gypsum powder. Then after a few minutes, tofu is becomes a kind of like jelly. Yeah.
All eaten in the village or sold to other villages?
Oh, if some people that are doing this business, they can make a lot and sell to other villages. Otherwise, maybe just for their own food.
Well, that would be the case with this couple here, surely. They're just making a small amount for their own family?
Yeah, this family, I think they basically just make for themselves. But I think sometimes they have more they would share with the villagers, with the neighbors. Yeah.
A small village, and yet a huge amount of building going on for houses. It's not just the great cities which are undergoing transformation, it's obviously the villages as well. There are mountains of bricks on the side of the road, rather like Roman bricks in appearance, and that seems to be the principal building material. As ancient as anything else in the place. There's a nice little cemetery stuck up on a hill here with little red flags standing, not communist flags, but they're standing in for floral tributes. And once a year there's a sweeping of the tomb ceremony and they come along and dust the tomb down and leave flowers, real ones, or the little flags, or perhaps paper flowers or plastic flowers. because the veneration of the ancestor is still very powerful in this country. We're sitting inside a villager's house. The house is owned by the family who are making the tofu, and we're having warm tofu milk, which is very sweet and really very nice, as well as the inevitable plasma television screen on the far wall. There's a very beautiful scroll painting, not mass-produced, a real scroll painting on this wall, and I'm pointing to it, dear listener, and it's covered in quite elegant calligraphy. Michael, did you study calligraphy when you were at school?
Yes, I did a little bit. It's a kind of personal choice. You don't have to, but I just did a little bit. I like that, the writing, you know, very artistic. Yeah.
Well, calligraphy was always seen as the highest art in China. Even Chairman Mao was very proud of his calligraphy.
Yeah, Chairman Mao was great. I think many people consider him one of the greatest masters for doing calligraphy. He has his own style, like cursive style, you know, very nice. I also like his calligraphy and the poems.
What were his poems like, Michael?
His poems have, you know, his own character, which can show people he was a great leader, not the ordinary people.
A couple of legendary leaders in the West regarded themselves as very good painters. One of them was Winston Churchill, and the other was Adolf Hitler. They were both rotten painters, the truth be known. But I'm glad that Chairman Mao was a great calligrapher.
I think Chairman Mao was, he was better known as a poet and a calligrapher. He wrote many poems. And his calligraphy is also very famous.
There's a new movement in China called New Maoist, where people are extolling his qualities and his virtues very loudly and often quite angrily because they think he's been badly treated by history. Do you know about this movement?
I don't really know about this movement, but you know, through the history, I think people had different opinions about Chairman Mao. So some people, you know, really worship him very much. Almost they consider Chairman Mao as a god. But some others would say, Chairman Mao was just a leader, a human being.
And sometimes not a very good one, because the Great Leap Forward was such a catastrophe for China. Right. But the neo-Maoists are now denying that the Great Leap Forward was a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon. In Russia, there are still people who worship Stalin.
Right. But I think maybe it's better that way. Now people think Chairman Mao also, he made great achievements for China, but he also made some mistakes. Mostly people say like 70% of great deeds he done for China, and maybe some mistakes, especially like Cultural Revolution, he was a bit responsible for that.
What impact would the Cultural Revolution have had around here, do you think?
Cultural Revolution was like a quite long period of time. It's almost like 10 years. So I think it destroyed many things. And many people suffered a lot. Many people like educated people like teachers, professors. Yeah, so the Red Guards, they just, you know, were like naive youngsters.
So the Red Guard would have been active here in this village?
Sure, yeah. I think even like my parents, the people around their age were like Red Guards.
So your mum and dad might have been Red Guards?
Kind of, in the farming village, but they didn't do much. They were basically, you know, treating, you know, the landlords badly. But now some people, they even say some landlords, they were very hardworking. They accumulated their wealth through hardworking, through saving. So not each landlord was bad. Not necessary to say that. So some landlords could be also good persons. Mm. But through Cultural Revolution, so many people, you know, were treated badly.
You were too young for the Cultural Revolution.
Yes.
Is it much discussed today by your generation?
Not so often, I should say. My parents will mention that to me. And, you know, especially the Great Leap Forward, you say, I think that's a very bad time for China.
It was one of the worst times for China.
Yes, one of the worst times. And we had starvation, you know, the famine, not enough food.
The voice of our tour guide from Guilin, Michael. Late Night Live on Radio National Summer. This program coming to you from southern China in the village of Peilin. Our tofu making friend wanted us to taste her dried kumquats.
Kumquats. Preserves the kumquats. Oh, let's see. Yeah. Even I have never seen, so she would like to show us.
Thank you.
Good job. Preserve this.
That were pretty good.
Yeah. She put this in the fridge.